This company's gonna shoot straight to the top and stay there, like Cyndi Lauper. Seriously, though, we stink out loud. Here's the big enchilada.
You're tuned into The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Now, are we gonna let ourselves get beaten by an old lady?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Lots to go over this week after having a great guest on last week with Ryan Miner. If you missed that show, definitely listen to it. As the head coach from Minot State, had a lot to say about his program and his career and certainly everything that is happening down there with getting NCAA hockey back and ACHA hockey back. I want to bring in Jenna. Jenna, how are things going? How's school going for you as you near the end of another term, it seems?
Yeah, we're getting there. It's the last few weeks are obviously always a little excessive, I would say. That's probably not the right word, but that's what it feels like right now. So
sure, yeah,
just kind of trying to grind it out and almost done. I'm not done fully till the 23rd, but a lot of it is just take home stuff, so I've kind of gotten started on it a little bit and hopefully I can finish it by then. But it's going. That's all I can say about it.
We'll discuss further plans coming up here, but again, lots to go over, lots to tackle tonight, so let's get into it quickly here. Want to start sort of off with a weird story that came out on Wednesday. I don't know, I know we talked a little bit about this before. Bonnie Allen of CBC News reported that a 12-year-old girl, a young lady by the name of Berkeley Trahorn, 12-year-old girl, is no longer allowed to play hockey in her hometown ever. Well, yeah, not ever, but for at least the foreseeable future. This is crazy. Dalmany, Saskatchewan, which is about 25 kilometers northwest of Saskatoon, has fewer than 2,000 people. You know, my small little minor hockey association has permanently released Berkeley Trahorn from all teams. They did that back in May, part of the fallout from an 8-month battle over dressing room access for Berkeley. not anything to do with her play or her conduct on the ice or off the ice, anything like, over dressing room access for the young lady.
I don't, the one thing for me, I know we talked about this a little bit before too, but like we, with COVID and stuff, everyone's showing up to the rink dressed anyways. And if, well, not, I get like, yeah, you need to, like, you know, you can only be in certain rooms because there's cleaning, blah, blah, blah. But like, man, it's one girl throwing the restroom for a couple practices. Like, this drives me crazy. Like, the girl's just trying to play some hockey. Obviously she's good enough to do it. So
here, I mean, here's the craziness, and people will go, okay, you know, like, this sounds crazy in terms of what's going on. So start of peewee hockey, that's U13 in terms of the age group, Hockey Canada's co-ed dressing room policy kicks in. So you have to have dressing room set up for boys and girls if they're playing on the same team. Completely fair, completely understandable. I mean, I get that. So the goal is to balance, you know, team unity, camaraderie with modesty and privacy. According to the national governing body for Canada's hockey setup, the policy dictates that boys and girls 11 years and older must dress separately, but that, quote, both genders shall congregate in one dressing room not more than 15 minutes prior to the scheduled ice time, fully dressed up for helmets and skates, basically due to the pregame talk from a coach, which makes sense. Like, no qualms about how Hockey Canada has this stated. Obviously, there are rinks out there that don't have the money to be able to add extra dressing rooms, and I would doubt that the town of Dalmany had the money to be able to do that. So, as it stood, Berkeley was changing in places like rink closets, the bathroom, or the furnace room before joining her teammates.
Yikes.
Her dad has gone on record in the article on CBC, stating, quote, "We've had situations where grown men have walked in on her while she's getting dressed."
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, she's in a furnace room, right? Like, I mean, how are they supposed to know? So, again, Berkeley did not, she didn't like it. She was not a fan of it, obviously, in terms of not having her own dressing room. I get the dislike for it. So she was now arriving at the rink basically already wearing her undergear, you know, shirts and leggings, and then she would don her equipment in the public hallway outside the team dressing room so she could hear what was going on in the dressing room, you know, hear the guys that she's playing with, the boys that she's playing with, joking, laughing, basically waiting for her chance to go in there when the coach said it was okay to. And again, she kind of lost, you know, some love of the game because she couldn't be with her teammates, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's sitting by herself. Like, that's, again, that's no fun. And she said the same thing. Here's where things went really crazy, because as you just said, you know, COVID-19 protocols last year basically stated that all players could only arrive at the arena 15 minutes before ice time and had to come fully dressed in their equipment. So everybody had to show up fully dressed. Mm-hmm. Everything should be okay for Berkeley at that point, in theory, right?
You would think.
Head coach stated that he had no issue with Berkeley and another girl being in the room with the boys because all the players were arriving dressed. So the coach was okay with it. Team manager and assistant coach also said the same thing, stating it was clearly within the rules. So again, coaches and manager are all on the same page going, you're already dressed. It doesn't matter. You can go in and hang out in the room if you want. Obviously, there are rules on how many players could be in there just based upon COVID rules. But again, if they were there, they could go in and sit with the rest of the team if there's enough room. Last October, a group of board members physically blocked her as she tried to enter the dressing room, saying she wasn't allowed in.
Holy shoot.
Exactly. So why? Now, you're probably saying, okay, that makes no sense. Like, why would they do that? Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
The Minor Hockey Association stated that COVID-19 protocols meant that team meetings were happening on the ice, not in the dressing room, and that it had to limit the number of players in the rooms so that they weren't breaking COVID protocols, and that male players could still undress after ice time.
Okay, my question is, though, regardless of the second point, it's happening on the ice. Like, if she shows up before someone else, are they going to block the last person that comes in? There's not, like,
again, that this is the dispute they have, pointing out the team manager there was space for Berkeley and that no players were allowed to undress in the dressing rooms according to the pandemic era rink rules. Mm-hmm. So the very rink itself, which had rules, said no big deal, like, just don't undress in the rooms, like, you got to basically go home in your equipment as well, which again, a lot of players were doing. So okay, fine, no big deal. They went further, though, because CBC decided to reach out and see if they can get some information about it. According to the board members, they all settled on one main reason to deny Berkeley access, and this is the one that I think is the most ridiculous that they could have come up with, because it says a lot about how terrible maybe we're doing with this whole hockey thing. They assessed that, quote, it was too risky to have unchaperoned boys in a dressing room with a girl, even a fully dressed one. They cited the need to protect both genders from a potentially compromising situation and clarified that meant bullying, sexual harassment, or even assault, unquote.
That's, you're joking.
That is what the board members settled on in terms of the reason to deny Berkeley access to a dressing room with boys she grew up with.
Okay, so maybe we should have a conversation with the boys and say, hey, you should not be, making any sort of inappropriate, like, that drives me. This is, like, similar to, like, the thing that drives me crazy about, like, in schools when they have dress codes. I get to a certain extent, you know, dress codes, but, like, the fact that, like, I couldn't wear shorts going to school because the boys might be distracted. Like, yo, it's 30 degrees outside. Like,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Same thing. Why not just have a conversation with the boys and say, hey, look, if anything inappropriate happens, that's on you. Like, this girl's just trying to, like, it's a sport. She's just trying to play hockey.
So the president of the Minor Hockey Association added that he felt that a coach or a parent would have to be in the room at all times. It couldn't guarantee that would be the case. He said, quote, you're just trying to protect everyone from things that could happen, unquote. Except that those things don't usually happen if you're a well-adjusted human being. Like, I get that at 12, 13, you know, boys are ridiculously dumb, and I get that. I mean, I was at that age. I kind of get that. But at the same time, though, this is not Berkeley's fault. This is the fault of people who don't trust their own sons. And that you're now punishing her because your son can't be trusted. And that, to me, is absolutely abhorrent in terms of the way that you're basically incriminating yourself as a terrible parent at that point.
No, 100%. And, like, especially at that age, like, yeah, at that age, boys and girls, like, you're just not fully aware of, you know, like, your actions. Like, yes, you're aware, but you don't know the extent, whatever. At the same time, like, teach your kids to not be super inappropriate, whether you're a male or a female, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like at that age, you should be able to go into a dressing room, together, fully dressed, and it should be okay, you know? Like,
this is the thing. Like, I mean, if you're talking about having the right messages being sent in hockey, and we've talked about this, you know, over all the stuff that we've heard for abuses and for hazing and for all that kind of stuff, this is one of those situations where you need to set the example and enforce the example. Like, she's allowed as part of the team to be in there based upon the rules, on the COVID rules. And let's just talk to the boys and say, hey, like, nothing changes. Like, it's the same as always. Like, she's,
yeah, and like, most boys sitting there at that age, even when you are playing hockey, like, they are pretty good with the girls, in the sense that, like, yo, she's just another teammate. Like, it's a sport. It's not, you know what I mean? That's the fact that it's like adults making these decisions too, that just like, don't, like, I don't understand. That drives me absolutely insane.
Again, I don't disagree with you. I think that this is entirely nuts, and that, I mean, again, I don't
know what is wrong with the world, though. That is why there are so many issues that happen, because rather than having a conversation with their children saying, hey, don't be crappy, it's, oh, like, we're just not going to put them in a situation where they can do that, rather than be like, maybe we should have a conversation. And when you get into a situation, just be a good person. But they'd rather not do that. And they'd rather just say, nope, sorry, I'm not going to teach my kid anything. And we're just going to tell them that these other people can't play, because screw it.
But that's the thing, though. So, I mean, I look at this and I just go, like, you guys have completely, completely dropped the ball as a minor hockey association. And so, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, you can take it higher if you want. And certainly the Trayhorns tried to. I mean, they hired a lawyer. They filed a complaint with the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission. They've gone basically to all their various opportunities to get this fixed.
Yeah.
The thing that kind of bothers me, and again, I kind of shake my head over it, is that the Minor Hockey Association basically said that all their decisions were made on the advice of the Saskatchewan Hockey Association. Saskatchewan Hockey Association General Manager Kelly McClintock, who I think is a fairly smart guy, said the board told them the boys were uncomfortable using the bathroom, even though all the bathroom have stall doors, and that he encouraged the board to enforce the co-ed dressing policy the way they saw fit. So Saskatchewan Hockey Association basically told the Minor Hockey Association, solve the problem, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
And so as this whole thing was going on, the allegations of sexual discrimination stunned volunteer board members and fractured a ton of relationships. So people basically said that they weren't coming back, they didn't want to volunteer, there were people that left the board because of how toxic and exhausting, you know, this whole thing had become. The president of the Minor Hockey Association resigned halfway through the season, just walked away.
Oh, wow.
Like, no big deal. Like, there's a huge problem here, but no big deal. But you look at this and you just go, at what point are we going to fix the game, as opposed to trying to fix, like, all we're doing is throwing band-aids on problems instead of trying to fix the game.
Yeah, I just, that's literally all I have to say at this point, is I just don't understand any of, like, even then people leave, do whatever, like, do something to fix it. I don't know.
But that's the thing. We're not fixing it. We're simply just making sure that one player can't play. We're making an example out of one girl.
Yeah.
And that's not the way that it's supposed to be, because at some point there will be other girls who come up through the same program and want to play hockey. Are they going to be banned as well?
Yeah.
Like, you're creating a very terrible precedent with this. So I don't know. I think this is ridiculous. I think that whomever is in charge right now out in that Minor Hockey Association out in Dalmany needs to get their heads examined, because this is ridiculous. I mean, this could easily be solved. And I'm not saying that they need to solve it with a whole dressing room. I get that there's not a dressing room for her to change in the future. Even during COVID, I get that there's not a dressing room for her. I get that.
I mean,
it's a small town. It doesn't have a lot of money. It can't afford it. Then take the closet that she was changing in and make it into a dressing room specifically for girls.
Or just let her change in there for all that it matters. Like, no, it's not great. I'm not saying that's the best option. But, like, if she has a way to fix it, just let her do it. You know what I mean? Well, like, it's not affecting anyone but her, which it's still not great. I'm not saying let her change in the closet. But at the same time, like, what does it matter to anyone else if she's making it work and still going out there and not, it's not affecting anyone?
But yes, that's the question, yeah.
Change the closet, absolutely. I'm not saying I want her to be changing in closets or for Like, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying clear the closet out and turn it into like a mini dressing room for her.
For sure. But even then, worst case scenario, you don't do that. She still has her own way. I'm not saying it's great. I would obviously way rather them do that. At the same time, if she has her own way to do it and it's not affecting anyone else, and why is it a big deal? Like, it's at that point, it's just worse off for her than anyone, and she's still putting in the effort. Again, I'm not saying it's good that she should change in the closet. I do not want her to. But worst case scenario, like, she made it work. So what is the issue?
I don't know. And to me, I mean, like I said, I'm looking at this going, all you're doing is creating a bigger problem here by doing this. Like, you need to think about long-term resolution as opposed to short-term band-aids here.
Oh, no, absolutely. But I'm just, yeah, I'm thinking more short-term. But definitely, yes, do something. Even then, there's restrooms and stuff. Like, I don't think anyone's really playing right now at that point. Like, yeah, they had practices maybe. Maybe they were playing. I don't know. But there's got to be somewhere.
But that's what I mean. Like, in the short term, in a temporary solution, just change one of the closets into a change room for girls. Like, yeah. I get that you can't have 20 people in that quote unquote in that change room. I understand that's not going to happen. But if you can get, you know, the one or two girls who want to play, you know, on the boys team in that dressing room to change, they have their own place to change then. There's no problem with that. But this is what I mean. And like, we're not thinking outside the box. We're simply trying to fit everything into these tiny little sort of silos of information and going, well, we did the best we could. Well, no, you didn't even do anything. You made it worse than making it better.
That's very true. Like, way worse.
So I don't know. I mean, it kind of comes down to, you know, investing in women's sports altogether. And I know we were talking a little bit about this, that, you know, the Olympic results, I mean, 4.4 million people watched Canada beat Sweden in that soccer game. For the gold medal, another 725,000 people watched it on digital streams. So if you can, you know, combine the two, over 5 million people watch women's soccer. It was the most watched Canadian moment in Tokyo at the Olympics. And we're sitting here talking about dressing rooms for girls.
Yeah.
Like, do we wonder why there's no investment in women's sports in Canada?
Every time we talk about this too, is like, I just don't understand why there's not, because when there is an opportunity for women's sports to be watched, even when, you know, they had games at the MTS or what's it, the Bell. I don't even know what it's called anymore.
Canada Life Center.
Life. Wow, that was hard. even then, like, when they had games there previously, like, no, it was not completely sold out, but it was packed in there. So, like, when there's the opportunity, people are taking that. So why is there not more of an investment?
Well, with no I was going to say, with no professional league in Canada for hockey or soccer at that point, you would think that seeing these numbers would probably give you a bit of a push and go, yeah, you know what? This might be a good idea. I'm under the idea, again, that, I mean, at some point it's going to happen. It has to happen. Because, I mean, to ignore these numbers is just simply ignorance and arrogance, that thinking that women's hockey or women's soccer or whatever the sport is won't generate money. And I point to the WNBA. Yeah, it took a while for the WNBA to gain a foothold, but the WNBA is making money in most markets now, which is great. Same thing could happen for women's hockey, women's soccer, anything like that. The thing that kills me, though, is that we still have problems just trying to get people out to games here for college when it's basically dirt cheap to come and watch. Like, no, for university games?
Yeah, and it's good hockey. That's the thing.
Like, oh, again, go to the soccer. Desiree Scott was a Manitoba Bison for 4 years. Yeah. Like, she played here in Winnipeg for 4 years. Now she's a gold medalist. Like, how awesome is that?
Do you think anybody watched her play at U of M? Probably
no. Not. No, and that's the catch, though, right? Like, so we're talking about other players now. Like, we're talking, like, again, throw a few names out here. Talking like a player like Jordy Zacharias, a player like Caitlin Willoughby out in Saskatchewan, a player like Alex Posnikov out in Alberta. We're talking about all of those players who have gone on now to join the PWHPA, but how many people actually have seen them play live and in person? I would say far fewer than what we might estimate. Simply because, again, people don't watch university sports in Canada for some reason. I don't understand why. Kylie Massey, the swimmer from goes to University of Toronto. Kelsey Waugh, you know, going to, you know, University of Manitoba. Like, you see these people every 4 years, and they're coming out of these great programs that you don't even know exist in your city. And I just go, at what point are people gonna wake up and go, we've got to start funding these programs if we're gonna get world-class athletes out of them?
I agree. And you'd think, especially, you know, it's what, 2021 now. I almost forgot the year. That's good. But you'd think that there'd be at least some more conversation about it, but it doesn't seem like that's even, like, it's still a fight, and I don't understand why it needs to be, because, like you said, when it comes to the Olympics, like, that soccer game was the most watched moment, so why is there not more investment in women's sports leading up to that? Like,
more than DeGrasse, more than Andre DeGrasse's gold medal, more people watch soccer. More people watch soccer than Damian Werner when he won the decathlon and set a, you know, one of four men to reach 9,000 points in the decathlon. More people are watching soccer than they were watching those two men establish themselves as the fastest man on earth and, you know, yeah, the most complete athlete on earth. And you go, at what point? Yeah, like, at what point is this going to happen? Again, Kelsey Mitchell, who won a gold medal in the sprint cycling. She played soccer at the University of Alberta.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
She played soccer at the University of Alberta and then took up cycling after that. And she's a gold medalist now. And you go, how many people even knew that she played soccer? Well, not very many. And unless you were watching, you know, a few of the Olympic broadcasts where they were talking about it. But I just look at it and I go, we've got to figure this out a little bit more and get people to start coming out to these games, because at some point we're going to generate a ton of great Olympians and people are going to go, where did they come from? What happened here? I mean, yeah, we had the most successful Olympics ever in the Summer Olympics this year. 75% of the medals were won by women, and we're still talking about trying to get a dressing room for a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's absolutely, like, it's insane to me. It just, nothing adds up, but I don't like that.
I don't know. I struggle. But the good news is, if you want to catch some of these players and want to see some of the stuff that's happening, all of the Canada West TV prices are out now for season long and for event passes as well. It's going to be $8 an event if you want to watch one game at a time, which isn't very cost effective. If you want to watch one sport all season, $32 for the entire season. I mean, that's cheaper than anything else you can buy. If you want to watch everything on Canada West TV, every sport, every game, every playoff, every championship, every exhibition, everything, $80 for the year.
See, like, I just don't see why you wouldn't do it at that point. You have the opportunity whenever you're bored to throw it on. Like, it's $80 is nothing. Think about how much. I don't know about you guys, but what I spend on Skip the Dishes lately.
But I mean, you think about people's cable bills. I mean, $80 is one month of cable bill for most people.
Or, like, just don't buy Skip the Dishes for a couple days. And guess what? That's a whole year of entertainment. A whole year, every single weekend.
But for $80, you're getting every single event. And that's the good part, is that you're going to get swimming. You're going to get track and field. You're going to get... Again, I know that people are going to go, I don't really want to see people run. Like, that's not a lot of fun. But again, those are the people where you find out that, you know, the DeGrasses, for example, who are going to be going to play. I mean, I know that DeGrasse went to school in the States, but there's going to be players, there's going to be runners, there's going to be sprinters from Canada that are going to participate in that. You see all the hockey, you're going to get all the football, you're going to get all the volleyball, all the basketball. Again, we're talking about sports where we actually send university students to the Olympics. I mean, there's all sorts of players that were playing for Canada in the volleyball, for both volleyball teams, men's and women, that have played across Canada. And I just go, at some point, people, you gotta start supporting these university athletes. But
and that's the thing, when you support them, it's not even just like supporting that. It gives money towards the programs. It gives them more like resources to actually improve. You know what I mean? Like, if there's no money coming into those sports from people watching, doing whatever, like, yes, schools have certain budgets. If there's not more than that, then they're not getting those extra resources that they need, whether it's gym time or like doctors, for example. Like, I know we had like a team doctor, thank goodness, because you get injuries, like, there's resources that need to be paid for. And if they're not doing that, they're not getting any better. They're just going to stay the same. Like, it needs to be supported, one, to help them out and help them grow as athletes, and two, because it's entertainment. Like, it is high level athletes. Like, it is crazy.
And you'll actually get to know some of the athletes, because we have some pretty good broadcasters in Canada West, from what I understand. So it'd be nice if people tune in, especially if you're gonna watch stuff like CFL football. Like, CFL football's cover. There's guys all over the place from all the CFL stuff. Like, with CFL kicking off this week, there was more chatter about the guys who were playing, who came from the university side of the of things, from the Canadian university setup, than there was from any of the American university setup. And you go, that's the kind of stuff that you can't get, because people will go, oh, I didn't even know he played in my city, or I had no idea he played here for university or whatever. And you go, just watch a game or two. You'll hear about him almost all the time because he's going to be one of the best players on the field. So
yeah,
I don't know. No, I just get frustrated with it. So
no, I get that. That's true. If you think about even like the Bombers and stuff, all you hear about is the guys that are coming from, you know, Canadian universities. You don't hear about the other ones as much, just because they are great athletes, whether it's Canadian universities, American, but it's like, I think U Sports just doesn't have as good of a rep or whatever as NCAA, because that was originally like always the place to go. Whereas now, like, it can, you can compete, you know what I mean? Like, it's very, very similar to NCAA.
Right. I mean, we're not going to go out there and beat the Auburns and the Florida States and that kind of stuff. I get that. Like, that they're on a different level altogether.
Oh, yeah.
But you throw a couple of Division III, you know, NCAA teams against a couple of the you know, say a Calgary from U Sports, I guarantee a Calgary gives them a run for their money, if not beats them. Like, they're, it's good football in Canada. And I just go, at some point, like, we need to start taking advantage of the fact that we've got great sporting lines coming out of these universities and nobody knows about them.
Oh, 100%. I agree with you. So everybody go get your tickets, get your passes, get whatever you need.
Yeah. If you want to get onto that CanadaWest.tv, if you want to get on the CanadaWest.tv, look that up. CanadaWest.tv on a Google search. All the early bird pass options are available until August 20th. Then the prices revert back to normal pricing, which isn't that much more expensive, but get yourself a discount. That's all I'm saying. Get yourself a discount, because the 2021-2022 season actually starts on September 4th with most of the soccer and football starting that those weeks. So women's soccer, women's and men's soccer and men's football all start at the beginning of September. So if you're looking to get in, looking to get a fix, there's your fix right there, folks. And everything's on demand too. You can get everything on demand on there. So if you miss a game, it's not like you miss a game. It's there. It's right there for you.
Boss, you literally have unlimited hours of entertainment right there. So like, why not do it?
I would say do it. I've.
I would say do too.
I don't see any reason why you shouldn't. So, speaking of, I know we haven't talked about it for a while, and I know we don't want to bring it up very often, but I do want to bring up a story that kind of has some COVID hints to it.
Great.
only because again, we're kind of in a here, at least here in Manitoba, we're kind of in a take your mask off, enjoy the summer kind of setup. And yet there are countries right now that are not in that situation, or they're experiencing a wave that they haven't experienced before because everybody's been vaccinated. One of those countries is actually the country of Iceland. Now, you're probably going, well, it's Iceland, who cares? Like, no, you know, nothing big happens in Iceland. And that would be true for the most part, except for the fact that if you haven't been following worldwide vaccination efforts, Iceland has been one of the few countries to have more than 85% of its total population vaccinated with at least one shot, and more than 80% fully vaccinated with two shots. So they're doing a great job. Like, they're basically going bananas for it. The first vaccines were administered in Iceland at the end of 2020. By mid-July, every resident over the age of 16 was offered at least one shot, resulting in 96% of females and 90% of males 16 years or older receiving at least one shot of the vaccine.
Wow.
So they're doing their thing out there. Like, they're getting it done out in Iceland.
Ready. Yeah.
And again, as we know, a second shot makes one's resilience to the virus that much better. But basically, your population that has more than 85% vaccinated with at least one shot is better than a lot of other countries on the planet right now. Like, they're way ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Where things have gone a little off kilter is that the Delta variant now is making people ill in Iceland. It's not sending people to the hospital. But again, the Delta variant doesn't care if you've been vaccinated. It will still make you sick. It's just not going to send you to the hospital with serious illness, which is great, but you can still get ill. You still get sick. Iceland, as of July, the start of July, had two cases. Okay. Two cases.
In all of, wow.
I mean, there were more cases obviously throughout the year, but they had two active cases at the start of July. Like, basically two people had COVID that they knew of, and they were trying to get, you know, trying to kill it off. As of August 4th, there were 154 new cases.
Wow. Yikes.
So in the span of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they went from two cases to 154 cases.
That's crazy.
Now, again, it's going to put a stress, there's stress on their hospitals again, stress on all sorts of other stuff. One of the things they didn't really probably need was the fact that they were going to host, at the end of August, round one of the double IHF Women's Olympic pre-qualification tournament.
Oh, great. Perfect.
So they were going to have four teams basically stationed in Reykjavik, the biggest city in Iceland, from August 26th to 29th, while they're going through another wave of COVID. Obviously, that's not good. That's not great. Double IHF needed to get this done, though. Like, has to get it done. Like, there's another round of qualifiers to come up in October. They got to get this done. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. It's been canceled. And it's due to, quote, a deteriorating COVID-19 situation in Iceland and the quarantine rules for the participants that would not have made it possible for them to take part in the event, unquote.
Okay, but what were the quarantining rules,
though? So the quarantining rules were basically virtually the same as what we heard for Halifax and Truro when they canceled it. So, you know, you're in your hotels, there's no intermingling, there's none of that, masks are on, all that kind of stuff. Whatever. I mean, okay, so they canceled it. The weird part was is that it wasn't Iceland that canceled it, but Bulgaria withdrew their team.
Wait, what?
So of the four teams that were going to be there, Iceland, Hong Kong, Bulgaria, and Lithuania were scheduled to participate in this tournament. Basically, the winner of the tournament would go on to the next round, which was like the higher level up. So you had to win the tournament to go up. Iceland, Hong Kong, Bulgaria, and Lithuania were all scheduled to participate. It was Bulgaria who decided that sending a team to Iceland wasn't worth the risk. They withdrew from the tournament, citing problems with rising cases and the quarantine protocols that were in place.
Interesting.
Now, again, you might go, okay, well, who cares? Bulgaria has a vaccination rate right now of 15.1%.
Oh,
that's they have no it. Nobody's getting vaccinated in Bulgaria. So maybe they looked at it and thought, well, these rising numbers could be a problem for our athletes, and we're not going to send them over there if COVID is on the loose again out there. The problem, though, is that because they withdrew from the tournament and the tournament was canceled, the highest seeded team, which would be Iceland, is the only team that will advance on now. All of Hong Kong, Bulgaria, and Lithuania are officially eliminated from the Olympic tournament.
That's awful. I mean, it's awful. And I've got away from the COVID thinking of it. I mean, good for them for, you know, trying to keep people safe, but also like, that's awful.
So Iceland, who moves on to round two of the tournament, they will, I mean, obviously they miss out on a chance to fine tune their team and get things ready for October, but they'll go to South Korea where they'll be in a pool with South Korea, Great Britain, and Slovenia in that qualifying tournament.
That's where my family's from.
Okay, there you go.
Perfect. Wow, I love to see it.
So Iceland gets a chance to move on. The other three get to go home and worry about 2024 now, or 2026 now.
That sucks. I mean, again, great that at least somebody's thinking about, you know, player safety, but also not really.
But this would be so much easier, though, if, again, and I'm not blaming Bulgaria, but I kind of am, get vaccinated. Like, what's taking so long? So, I mean, again, I'm not here to condemn Bulgaria. They made a decision for the safety of their athletes, but it affects three other teams now, or two other teams as well. So, I mean, they kind of are to blame for Lithuania and Hong Kong losing their chance at advancing in the Olympic tournament.
That's true. Yeah, like maybe just go get your vaccine. I don't know. Nah. Again, not saying it's going to stop you from getting it, but it's not going to put you in the hospital. Whereas right now, you know, they're obviously a little more at risk.
Well, and I mean, the thing that kills me, and again, I'll bring this up because, again, we'll talk about this in a second, is that this is the new reality now. Like you're going to have to be vaccinated to do anything in a large crowd, whether it be concerts, whether it be sporting events, whether it be, you know, anything that has a large number of people. It seems that this is going to be enforced by all of the venues, all of the events, all of the places where these large capacity events are taking place, large capacity, you know, concerts, whatever, are taking place. You're going to have to be vaccinated. What is the point of arguing about it now? Just go get it done.
That's my thing. At this point, have your opinion, do whatever you want. But at the same time, it's like everyone's personal thing is like, oh, like they're taking away our rights. They're forcing me to do whatever. I'm like, hey, well, in order to go to school, you need to have vaccines. In order to go to certain countries, you have to have other vaccines. In order to, you know, drive a car, you can't be drinking and you need to wear a seatbelt. Like it just, there's rules that are part of like, they tell you, yes, they're going to guide you how to like essentially live your life. But this is the exact same kind of thing. Obviously, I get it. If you can't get it for like medical reasons, whatever, like there's a different story. But if you're just sitting here saying, oh, I don't want it because the government's forcing it, like blah, blah, this research, like go get your research from a freaking doctor. Don't get it off of your like Google newspaper that you're reading. That's like, I just, everybody's driving me absolutely insane. At this point, there's no point in arguing it. Like, what do you think you're going to change? Like, you're going to have your anti-mask, anti-vax rallies. And like, what do you think that's going to change? If anything, it's making things worse. So like, how about you just think about other people rather than yourself, like the kids that can't get vaccinated or like the people that legitimately cannot get vaccinated because of medical reasons, do whatever, rather than saying, oh, they should just stay home. No, maybe you should just stay home or go get your vaccine. I don't know. Sorry, that was my rant.
But your rant isn't that far off because we're seeing lots of school boards in the United States defy orders not to put mask mandates in place. We're seeing so far a lot of Ontario universities have mandated that all athletes, and specifically athletes that are going to participate in the OUA, but most athletes, if not all athletes, have to be vaccinated. Not only that, but their schools are now saying the same thing, is that all students need to be vaccinated if they want to be on campus. We're still waiting for that kind of stuff to come out here in Manitoba, and it should be enforced. But again, we have a government that seems to not be able to read the room a lot. But one team that did read the room today was the Winnipeg Jets, who said that they are not going to allow unvaccinated people in, yet you have to be fully vaccinated and show proof of vaccination in order to attend games at the Winnipeg or at Canada Life Center this year if you want to attend Jets games. And I'm assuming it'll be the same for the Moose. It'll be the same for concerts that are there. It'll be the same because it's the same group that's running the whole thing, running the whole show. So if you want to go to Canada Life Center this year to watch anything, you have to be vaccinated. So go do it. Bombers have already gone through one game with it and turned people away. It's happening across the city and going to happen across the country. You need to get on board with this.
That's the thing. And for all the people being like, oh, like you guys are just sheep following. I'm like, no, I actually like one, I'm doing what I need to do to keep myself safer. And like people that, you know, need to stay safe for one. Two, like, at least I can go do things. You know what I mean? At this point, like I said, it's similar to you get in a car, you have to put a seatbelt on, or you're going to get a ticket. You're going to get pulled over. Like, it drives me absolutely insane. Again, if you have a medical reason where you physically cannot get the vaccine, that is very different. If you're just sitting here saying, oh, like, they're just forcing me, and the reason you don't want to do it is because you're trying to, like, push again. Like, just grow up. Like, do your research. Do the right research.
But that's the thing, though. There's so much misinformation out there now, though.
You control this situation, so control it, and then, you know, you'll be allowed to do things. At this point, you're going to need to do it, or need a vaccine to do anything.
Well, I mean, but that's the problem, though. There's so much misinformation out there that people are now, you know, taking their advice from, you know, TikTok, for example. TikTok is not a valid medical source of information. I would try it somewhere else if you're going to go look for someplace. But I'm just saying that if you want to attend anything, and I mean, people are pretty flippant about it too. I mean, I've seen people, oh, they're begging for season ticket holders to come back. Guess I'm going to save myself $5,000 this year. You know, congratulations, you will. But you can't do anything else with it.
So get that going.
You can't go anywhere else with it. You can't do anything else with it because you can't get admitted anywhere else with it. So what are you going to save your $5,000 for? You can't do anything with it.
This whole, like, it actually drives me absolutely up the wall. Like, at this point, what do you think you're like? I don't get it either.
So I'm with you, but that's just me.
Oh, I'm fired up again.
I know. I'll let you get fired up for one more. We're gonna skip over one little story and go to a bigger one.
Oh goodness.
We didn't get a chance last week to talk about it, even though it was in the news. Obviously with Ryan Miner being on. But we're gonna address it right now because Evander Kane's problems, which we've addressed on this show before, Evander Kane's problems are only getting worse. And now I want to be, I want to make something clear. We're not going to address what his wife has accused him of in terms of their family problems. That's a personal thing. That's something that he needs to deal with him on his own. But I do want to address the fact that the alleged gambling that she alluded to will threaten his NHL career. And that's something the NHL is investigating. We already know that. In the CBA, we do know that it says that any gambling on any NHL games will likely end your career. Like, you are not allowed to gamble on any NHL game. Doesn't matter if it's your own team or somebody else's team. Not allowed. So with the NHL forging these relationships with DraftKings and all that kind of stuff, where DraftKings is very good at keeping people's information private. Like, that's their whole thing. If you want to place a bet, you can go there and do it quietly and nobody has to know the difference. Nobody has to know any better, any worse.
Yeah.
Like, the NHL is in a very precarious situation now, because if they find out that Kane was doing this, his career is over. Like, he's done. But now they have to turn around and look at the Players Association and go, do we have to investigate everybody now?
Well, yeah, I feel like, oh, it's like a tricky spot. Obviously, like, I don't like the guy, so I don't want to like get going too far into this. But I mean, if it's come up, there's like a reason. I don't want to like touch on anything else like personal wise that's been accused. But like, this is something that I feel like has been brought up before in the past and kind of been brushed off from what like I can briefly remember. I don't know, but there's got to be some truth to it. And like you said, like, do we need to, not we necessarily, but like, does everyone need to be investigated? Because once one person's doing it, like, everybody, not everybody, but like, it's, people know, you know what I mean? Like, there is no way that is just one person doing it, as bad as that sounds.
I'm not here to indict anybody else. No allegations about anybody else. I don't want to do that. But at some point you have to ask the question, right? Like, that's the thing. So I'm glad you mentioned that you don't like Evander Kane, because apparently you're in the majority on that, as a number of Kane's current teammates with the San Jose Sharks don't want him back next year. That they're upset with Kane's disrespect for team rules, like being late for practices and games, and that there are a number of agents who have spoken about their clients' wishes to never have him back in the dressing room again.
Wow, that's new.
Tough situation, because we went through that here in Winnipeg, obviously, with Kane and what happened before he was traded. I don't know if anybody's willing to take stuff on in terms of a problem like Kane, but some of the stuff that he went through here in Winnipeg, it's been very well documented. It's been very well exposed as to he might have a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And every time somebody seems to bother him about it or talk to him, it just gets worse. And The Athletic's Kevin Kurtz reported last week that several sources had confirmed to him that the Sharks had tried to trade Kane earlier in the summer, and that Kane's teammates' issues with the winger reportedly were one of the main drivers for the Sharks to try and find Kane a new home. And that, again, they don't want him back after everything that went on last year. So I don't know how you welcome a guy back after everybody has basically come out. I mean, how do you walk into a dressing room if you're Evander Kane, knowing that virtually most of the guys in there don't like you?
I feel like the only reason he walks back in there is because he's in so much debt that he needs the money.
Well, that's the thing, though. He has to go back. Yeah.
Let everyone hates you. And that, like, you're literally going against your team's, like, standards, I guess. Maybe it's not the right word, but that's just what comes to mind. But, like, one, how do you let the guy back on the team? Like, why not just get rid of him? Like, he's caused so many problems over the last year. But also in every other team that he's been, or every other team he's played on. So why? I don't know. I hate the guy. I hate to say it. If he's listening, I mean, he has you blocked, I think you said.
Oh, yeah, he blocked me on. But I'm not the only one, though. So, like, I was reading stories this week or whatever. He blocked Adam Proto of the Hockey News after Adam Proto wrote an article about him being maybe a little bit of a loose cannon. He blocked Adam Proto as well. So I'm not the only person who he's blocked. He's blocked tons of people. But apparently, if you talk negatively about him, if you have any negative comment about him and he catches wind of it, you're blocked immediately.
I'm going to go tag him in a tweet after and see what happens.
Oh, I'm sure he'll get blocked right away, yeah. He'll be like, what? No, blocked. But so
my guy, come on.
So, I mean, again, reading a little bit more about this, reading a little bit into this as well. Like, again, you can buy out Evander Kane's contract if you want. But, I mean, that time has come and gone now in the summer. So, Kane is now on the books for next year. Like, he has to come back because, A, he owes so much money to everybody else. He's in so much debt that he has to pay off all those debts, which means he has to play. And now Doug Wilson has to hold on to him because the buyout option is gone.
True, I get it.
So, you're kind of stuck with him now.
That's terrible.
And one NHL source, according to a report, said that, you know, like, he needs some serious help. Like, he needs help, not just with the debt and the gambling and all that. Like, he needs some serious help in terms of making himself into an NHL teammate.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, especially, like, at that level, like, if you do like one or two things wrong, like you're in the news, you're in the spotlight, you're representing, we've talked about this multiple times about other things, but like you're representing your team, you're representing the organization, you're representing the NHL. And like everything you do is going to be, yes, sometimes it gets blown up maybe. And I'm not saying that's the case here. Like, again, I don't know, whatever, but if you can't come onto a team and like stay enough out of that like negative spotlight that like everything is blowing up negatively about you on social media, the news, regardless of how much of it is true or not, like obviously there's some truth to it because it wouldn't keep happening. He needs to get some help because it's not just about him, and he's dragging everyone else down with him every single time it happens. So, and like, that's literally like a narcissistic, like he doesn't care about anyone but himself. And again, I don't know the guy, but it just, I don't like him.
So here's what people told Adam Proto, just to give you an idea. And again, all these agents are speaking on anonymity in terms of getting these comments out. So, I mean, I can't say who it is or who it isn't.
Yeah.
But here are the comments. One agent told Proto, quote, "He plays with a chip on his shoulder, but that carries into the dressing room and the outside world. He never does any favors to himself when he lets his ego rule the day, and he does that most days," unquote. Another agent told Proto, quote, "One of my clients on the Sharks just hates him, hates the negative energy he brings into the room. Only he can change that, but he may have gone too far. Some guys think they're bigger than the team, and I guess that helps drive him on a personal basis, but in the team construct, it doesn't play well at all," unquote.
See, so it's not just me that hates him then. I love to hear it.
I don't know the guy. I can't say I hate him. I don't like what he does. I don't like the way he acts. But, I mean, I can't say I hate him, but...
I just don't know
how a guy like this has been allowed. He's 30 years old, has been allowed to wander through dressing rooms without getting his rear end booted around for a while. Like, you would expect that some veteran would probably pull him aside and go, if this doesn't change today, you're going to have the worst season of your life.
I feel like it could have happened though, but people like that, when it comes down to it, like, clearly this has happened on other teams too. Like, I know we've heard stories about him in Winnipeg and whatnot. It's happened before. And even if that were to happen, I think he is just so, again, it's my own personal opinion. Nobody take this and say whatever, but he just seems very narcissistic. Like, he genuinely does not think that he can do anything wrong. And clearly, like, by those comments to me, it's the same kind of deal. Like, it's just regardless of what other people think or how he feels, like, he just thinks that he's better than everyone. So he's going to go into those rooms, and that big ego is just going to drive him regardless of if people hate him or not. Like, I don't think he cares.
See, and I'm okay if you want to have that ego on the ice. Like, if you want to go out there and think that you're the best player, fine.
But it's a team game. Like, you can't do that in a dressing room. Like, it drags everybody down.
And that's the part that I don't get, is that, I mean, we've seen it happen in Winnipeg. We've seen, obviously, some personalities here that didn't put up with it. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien being one of them. But at some point, you got to grow up. Like, at some point, you got to gain some maturity. And it seems like he doesn't. He hasn't. He won't. And again, I'm not dragging his wife into this, because that's his own personal dealings. But the comments that she made kind of reflect the fact that he sounds pretty immature.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, again, we obviously don't know the whole stories, but the fact that it's the same kind of deal coming up over and over and over for how many years now, like, that says something, regardless of if only 50% of that is true. Like, there is a reason that all these stories are continuously coming up, and it's not because people are trying to on him. It's because he is, that's just how he is. You know what I mean? Like,
But I mean,
they're happening for a reason, and it's not because he's not doing anything and people just don't like him. It's because he's doing things and portraying himself, and his actions are causing these people to not like him.
You want to finish on some good stuff then? Get off the Commander Kane, finish on some fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
Big shout out to three Manitobans who made the Canadian national team that'll play at the Women's World Championship in Calgary at the end of the month. Shout out to Jocelyn LaRocque, Ashton Bell, and Kristen Campbell, who all made the team. Obviously, some new names that are going to be on the list there, and with Bell and Campbell representing Canada. There's some others that are in there as well, but three Manitobans, which is good to see. Jocelyn LaRocque, unfortunately, will be the oldest Canadian on the team this year.
Wow, that's crazy, because she's not old.
No, she is not old at all. Youngest will be a young lady from Georgetown, Ontario, Sarah Fillier. She was born in 2000.
That makes me feel old, and she's not that much younger than me.
No, she's not. And there's a bunch of, like, there's a 90, there's a bunch of 98s in here and stuff like that. 99, again, Ashton was born in 99, so a little bit of an interesting sort of setup is there's some new names in here that people may not recognize, but you want to keep an eye on them. Emma Malte made it from, she played at Ohio State. Pretty good player in terms of getting that in there. Claire Thompson, who again might not be heard, she's playing with the PWHPA. You want to keep an eye on her. And then Kristen O'Neill, another 1998er, she also playing with the PWHPA. So I mean, there's a few other, Victoria Boxback, Jamie Lee Rattray, and you know, Poulan's in there, Emily Clark, Spooner, Nurse, all the regular, you know, nothing to worry about on that. Saulnier, Dow, Fast, they're all in there in terms of being in there. Jenner, usual suspects are all in there. But the ones that are filling in the gaps now, where people are retiring, people are moving on. Keep an eye on those players, because there's going to be some interesting players in there that you might want to keep an eye on for sure. They're probably going to be the backbone of Canada for the next few years, at least until, you know, a few other players might step up. But nice to see three Manitobans on there, though. Congratulations to them. In net, just if you're wondering who the goaltenders are going to be, Anne-Renée Desbiens, she gets a nod along with Emerence Mashmeyer, 1994s. And then, as I said, Kristen Campbell, who last played with the PWHPA. She was in the – she's an incredible NCAA goaltender with Wisconsin. So congratulations to Kristen as well.
Yeah, that's huge. I love to see it. I'm excited to watch some of it.
Rick St. Croix, longtime goalie coach in the NHL, Kenora, Ontario native, but I mean, he spent a lot of time in Winnipeg and Manitoba with the Jets and with the Moose and with the Bisons. He's retiring. Rick St. Croix, 66 years old, has decided to hang up the skates. He most recently served as the organization's development coach with the Manitoba Moose. He was a scout the past six seasons. He was the guy who uncovered one Connor Hellebuck down in Texas with the Odessa Jackalopes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that, actually.
He was the guy that they came and they said, Rick went to bat for Connor in terms of drafting him and said, nope, this is the guy. He's the guy that I want to, I'm going to put my reputation on. So good for him in terms of getting that done. But yeah, he's been all over the place. He's a goaltending coach with the Dallas Stars. He helped them win a Stanley Cup, obviously, in 98-99. He was there during that season. He was assistant coach with the Winnipeg Jets from 87 to 89. He was a goaltending consultant, with the Moose in 03-04. He was assistant coach with the Moose from 04 to 11. And then he was out in St. John's from 11 to 12 as well. Worked as a goaltending coach for the Maple Leafs from 2012-2015 as well. So he's been all over the place. Congratulations to him. He played in the NHL. He was with the Flyers and the Maple Leafs. He played in the AHL with the Maine Mariners, Philadelphia Firebirds, Springfield Indians, St. Catharines Saints. Spent a little bit of time with the Fort Wayne Comets in the IHL as well. So it's good to see Rick finally sort of taking a year off and maybe looking after himself a little bit after looking after all those goalies for so many years. But congratulations to Rick St. Croix on his retirement. Folks, if you missed it, I posted this on Hockey Blog Canada on Monday. If you think that you can do radio and you think that you're pretty good at it, there's a chance that you could be calling games this year if you really want to. Out in Saskatchewan, they're looking for a full-time, let me underline that.
That's pretty big.
Female is the second piece of that. Wow. Female play-by-play broadcaster for the Huskies women's hockey team, for the Saskatchewan Huskies women's hockey team. Pattison Media and University of Saskatchewan are going to form a partnership where they're looking to create an all-female broadcast team to call games for the Huskies women's hockey team, both at home and on the road.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they'll be broadcast throughout Saskatchewan on the Pattison radio stations that are in and around North Battleford, Melfort, and Prince Albert, as well as within Saskatoon itself. So
that's huge. Wow. That is massive. Do it.
So if you're a female radio host and or a former female player, they're specifically looking for an all-female broadcast team. They will relent and actually hire a man if they have to, but they would prefer to have an all-female broadcast team for the women's hockey program.
I love that they're doing that, though. That's huge.
It is great. And I Ray Morrison, who's senior producer and host and partnership coordinator for Husky Fan, which is going to be the new app you can hear all the games on as well, says, quote, "I think the pool is deep. It's one of the things about this opportunity is we're going to uncover talent from some broadcasters they didn't know they had, who never gave play-by-play a thought, which has generally been dominated by males in the past. I think this is really good, and I think that it will really open up a lot of doors for people who didn't think that they were a play-by-play broadcaster."
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a huge opportunity, especially home and away. Like, that's pretty big, and good experience, too.
So if you're interested on that, head over to Hockey Blog in Canada. Check out the Monday, August 9th article. It's all there. Applications for the position have to be in by August 31st. Get it in by August 31st so they can hire you. That would be fantastic. And then you'll come to Manitoba during one weekend to visit with us, because we'll be there.
At least one weekend. That's perfect, though. There we go. That's so sad.
I do want to say, before we leave today's show, this is your second last show, Jenna. So next week we will have a little going away for you.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's not sad. It's a going away, not a never we'll see you. We'll never see you again, show.
The best part of my week every week. What am I going to do?
We'll still have you on as a guest host. Obviously, your role in out at McEwen and Edmonton will change a little bit, but we'll still have you on occasionally and bring you back for a lot of the shows that we do about youth sports, especially. But we want to send you off on the right way next week. We'll have a little bit of fun and joke around and basically do a best of the best show with you in terms of some of the fun stuff that we'll do, but it'll be a fun show, and we'll talk about the next steps for you as you make your way back out to Edmonton there. So I want to say, I'm not going to do it now, but I do want to say it's I'm looking forward to hearing you out there and seeing your new opportunity that we'll talk about next week. So
yeah, I'm excited. We'll talk about it next week, I'm sure. And
yeah. For this show, is there anything else you want to say before we get out of here, Jen?
I don't think so. No, I think I had something in my head before. I was thinking, at the end I need to say that, but it's gone now, so maybe next week.
We'll do it next week, then, if that's the case, then. With that, folks, stay tuned for your Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the station. Stay tuned for that. Always a good show with Skippy. With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Tune in next week for the Going Away Show for Jenna here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.